what is this love song? It is so beautiful.
It is a sexy song.
Like Jeremy Jordan, sing to me in a bathtub any day.
But when they're singing, amazing, crazy, fantastic.
It's the devastation for me, though.
It's the devastation for you. Believe me, I love the devastation, okay?
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Off to Broadway, the podcast where we deep dive into anything and everything musical theater from the comfort of my car. I'm Tara.
I'm Stefania.
And in today's episode, we are talking all about Broadway love songs in honor of Valentine's Day this weekend.
Happy Valentine's Day. What are our Valentine's Day plans, Tara?
I mean, the same thing we do every other day of the year.
What did we do last Valentine's Day? Do you remember?
Yes, we went to Caroliner Change.
We did.
Which was a great Valentine's Day date for you, me, and Julie Black.
Exactly.
And Vanessa Sears.
And Vanessa Sears. It was perfect. It was so much fun.
Yeah. Also, we want to let you know that it is a new year and we are now on YouTube. So you can watch us if you are used to just listening to us. You can do both. You have the option now. So hello to any YouTube viewers. But yeah, so we thought that we should celebrate Valentine's Day in some way this year because we have no other plans. And what better way to do it than to discuss our favorite Broadway love songs? And this, as is all of our ranking episodes, it brought up a debate, as it obviously should. And I was distraught yesterday.
You know, we try to bring some variety to the listeners, and that was tough this time. I feel like it's hard because, you know, we talk so much about theater together that so many times our tastes end up melding and combining, and we forget who liked something first or who wanted something more. So it...
I also feel that this category... as opposed to other categories is, I mean, you can do a Google search of the best Broadway love songs and every list has somewhat of the same songs. So I feel like this category kind of put us in a box already, but I do agree. I think just based off of all of the episodes that we've done over the 2 years, it's inevitable that we're going to love the same kind of songs. So before we get into our rankings, what is the definition of a love song for us?
So my favorite definition that I found was from Urban Dictionary, and it said, a song attempting to express a feeling that is basically unable to be defined. Because love is, who knows what it is, but you don't know it until you feel it. And love songs basically attempt to convey those emotions to other people. And sometimes mm-hmm. it makes sense, sometimes they don't. Usually they don't.
Yeah, most of the time they don't, which is the conversation that we also had yesterday of, I think that there is no healthy Broadway relationship. There are moments of support and love for sure, but there's always a dilemma. So I don't
but
know that it's always...
it's outside forces and sometimes it's the problem between the people. And I think that's different, you know?
That's true. We also made some rules for this episode, just some like light rules in terms of what we can put in our lists. And one of the things that I said is jukebox musicals do not count because those songs weren't written for the show. So it could be based on a different experience.
Yeah, it's not written to tell this specific story. So I agree with that. Another rule we had was no breakup songs.
Which was a tough one. I feel like as I went down and made my long list into my short list, I was like, oh, I actually have a lot of breakup songs.
Is this a breakup song? I know. Sometimes it's hard. And I think the final rule was that it must have been performed on stage. So nothing from just a movie musical.
Yes, that is true. Okay, so should we get into it?
I think so.
Okay, so to... let everybody know, we both made our top five lists. We sent them to Shara, and if we had overlaps, we had to change. We can have one overlap. We ended up having three, which, what's wrong with us? I was very upset about losing one of my songs. You didn't really care to lose one of your songs
as much
as I cared.
Well, they didn't care, but we agreed upon the terms in advance, and then, you know, I was accepting.
Yeah, so the next time we do one of these ranking lists, we need to not have three overlaps. Okay, what is your number five love song?
Okay, so my number five love song, it is a love song. I love it very much, and it's an interesting relationship. The entire musical is a love story, but it's not a love story with a happy ending. And even though the ending that you know going into this love song isn't good, I still think it's such like a pure moment of love and commitment between these characters that I love it. So it is the next 10 minutes from the last 5 years. That is my number five song.
That's our crossover.
That's our crossover. That's what I thought too.
It is on my list. It's no longer number five because I had to make some changes. So I'll talk about my feelings on it when we get there.
I love it. I think it's just like a snapshot of a perfect moment. And even though you know this relationship is doomed, like Jamie and Kathy are not going to be together at the end. It's not going to work out. You can't doubt that the love that they feel for each other in this moment isn't like 100% real and 100% like pure. And I think that's what it is. Like some of these just capture a specific moment, a specific snapshot of love. And I think that's what this song does so well. And it's about like making a choice. I will love you for the next 10 minutes. And then at the end of that 10 minutes, I'll decide again. And every day you actively choose to like love that person. Mm-hmm. And they didn't choose in the end to love each other, but in that moment,
in that moment they chose.
And I really love it. This line that I picked out that really moved me, and it's Kathy singing, "I want to die knowing I had a long, full life in your arms."
I'm just
crying listening to that. And you know that it's not going to happen for them. But in that moment, they really want that. And that's what I love about it.
Times for a million summers till the world explodes.
I also love that song. It is a little bit higher on my list, so I'll save my thoughts on it. My number five is a song that was originally not on any list, and then it came up on Shuffle. I'm like, oh, I forgot about this song and how much I love it. And it is I Don't Need a Roof from Big Fish.
I don't need a roof to say I love you. I don't need a roof to call you mine. I don't need adventure.
This song is one that I did not even know what it was. In 2018, I found out what it was because obviously Queen Renee Rapp sang it for her Jimmy Awards medley. And I remember watching the Jimmys that year and not having the screen up at that moment. And when I heard the song, the first thing that popped into my mind was, one, who is this girl? And two, what is this song? Because it's so, so stunning. And I, last year on my 2020 cast recordings journey, listened to all of Big Fish, and it's good. I will say it is kind of confusing on the same track of the Merrily We Roll Along cast recording because it takes place over two time periods. So when you can't see that, it is kind of confusing to just listen to. But that song stood out in that listen of the full cast recording. And Kate Baldwin has one of the most beautiful, pure voices I've ever heard. And this song is so stunning, from her vocalization to the orchestrations and the story that's happening around. I won't spoil what happens at the end of this song. But yeah, I really love this song. And it's one that I go back and listen to from time to time. And whenever it pops up, it's like, oh, I forgot the way that this makes me feel. It like pulls at your heartstrings. And that's what I love about this love song.
Yeah, I'm not super familiar with Big Fish. So I should go listen to it.
You should. I mean, it's Norbert Leo Butz and Kate Baldwin, so can't really go
wrong. You know
wrong.
How I feel about Norbert Leo Butz.
Yeah, he was just number five on your
list. I love Norbert Leo Butz.
Okay, what is your number four?
My number four song is the one kind of sinister song on my list. I love this song very much. It's a fantastic musical theater song, but it is kind of about a love that is so intense that it makes you do dumb things. And so it is the song Our Love Is God from Heathers.
Oh my God. I would have never put this
on
your
list.
I know that you love it as a musical theater song, but I would have never even like put the two together. Crazy.
The character of JD is insane. He is disturbed. But I think the only way, the only reason that this song kind of gets away with it a little bit is because they're teenagers. And when you're a teenager, every emotion you have is 10 times more intense than anything else. And so when you believe, you know, our love is, when he says our love is God, like we can start and finish wars, we are what killed the dinosaurs, you believe that he truly believes that that is how strong their love is. And yeah. You as an audience member are like, they're crazy. Mm-hmm. Don't murder anyone. But but you believe that those are like the true intense emotion that he's feeling. And they're what drives him to, or what he believes drives him to commit these insane acts. And also for Veronica to follow him and be with him and do these things before she finally comes to her senses. It is a description of a love so strong that it makes you do crazy things. And it's also weird because it's a song with a lot of dialogue. But when they're singing... Yeah. Amazing, crazy, fantastic.
I worship you. I'd trade my life for yours. They all will disappear. We'll plant our garden here. Our love is God.
Our love is God.
Our love is God.
Our love is God.
Yeah, he says a line. He says, I worship you. And that is like, it's sinister, but fantastic. I love it very much.
That is such a, I mean, again, like I also love that song. If we were to pick a Heather's song, it wouldn't be that one. And I'll save the one that's on my honorable mention list because that's the one that I love. But I mean, I agree. That song is crazy. Also, shout out to Ryan McCartan and Barrett Wilbur-Reed for like the greatest vocal performance of all time on that song. But I remember like when we saw it in person both times, mm-hmm. That song hits. In a regional production, it hits.
It's good every time.
I agree.
That's what I think about Heather's. We've only ever seen kind of regional local productions of it or like school productions of it.
Yeah.
But it holds up. And I think that's really the strength of a show is that you can see a not professional production, good productions, but you can see it kind of not with the huge budget behind it. And mm-hmm. It still nails the emotion, nails the story. And yeah. I think Heather's is one of those ones that holds up to many productions.
Yeah, I definitely agree. My number four, we're going like classic. That was pretty modern. So this, again, was a song that I debated for a long time of putting it on my list because it isn't one that I go to all the time, which I think is like what I struggled with the most on this list is, are these songs that I listen to all the time, yes or no? And I think what I ended up realizing at the end of the day is that I don't listen to love songs most of the time. Like, I just don't gravitate towards them all the time. So this song was not on my list, was on my list, it's back on my list, and I played around with the placement of it. So it is A Little Fall of Rain from Les Mis. I feel like this is the first time that we have a Les Mis song on these categories. We've never had one.
Excuse me, One Day More.
We have, Act One and Finales. Yeah, I was like, we didn't have it in opening numbers because we didn't classify it as an opening number.
No, we had a whole discussion about it. But so, One Day More is the iconic Act One finale.
100%. I love this song. I have always loved this song. If you would ask me the three love songs in Les Mis, I think it's On My Own, A Little Fall of Rain, and A Heart Full of Love. And I love all three of them.
To me, the Les Mis love song that I love the most is A Heart Full of Love. I love A Heart Full of Love. People hate it, but I love it.
No, upset. Cosette hits these high notes.
I love Cosette.
We stan. We love. Yeah, I agree that A Heart Full of Love is the better love song, but I love a devastating love song. I really do. And I think what's so great about this song is that, spoiler for anyone that hasn't seen Les Mis, 100 million years later. And this scene is when Eponine dresses up as a boy and goes to the barricade and she gets shot and dies in Marius's arms. And she never outright says that she loves him. She sings On My Own, but obviously he's not there. And then in this moment, when she's lying in his arms dying, and he says to her, I'll keep you safe. And she repeats it back, you'll keep me safe, you'll keep me warm. And they both say that together. I'm like, this is so beautiful and so heartbreaking at the same time. And it's only in this song that he realizes that his best friend that he was all so buddy-buddy with is actually someone that loved him. They never exchanged those words, but still felt that for each other, just not in the same way. I mean, I feel so much worse for her than I do for him. But the fact
she's dying.
That they... Exactly. But the fact that they both shared this love for each other, and even though his wasn't romantic, is beautiful to me. This song makes me cry every time I see it. don't shade me, everybody, but I think the best version is the Samantha Barks, Nick Jonas one, because not for Nick Jonas, but I love the way that Samantha Barks sings this song and the 25th anniversary Les Mis. I think she sings it better in this one than she does in the movie.
So don't you fret, Monsieur Marius. I don't feel any pain. A little fall of rain can hardly hurt me now. I'm here. That's all I need to know.
But there is a new 2020 Les Mis cast, like staged concert cast recording that came out. And that version is really good too. I mean, Lea Salonga also sings an amazing version of this song. I love it in many iterations. One of my favorite ones ever is actually a 54 Below performance of Ramin and Will Swenson singing it to each other. If you haven't amazing. Seen it, you need to see it. But yeah, I love this song. It's devastating, and that's why I love it.
I do love a devastation. Oh, we'll get to it later, but I do love devastation as we...
We know.
As we know.
Oops. In all theater, you love devastation.
In all theater, I love devastation. Yeah. Okay, my number three. My number three was my new addition. This is what I replaced my song Ooh. With. It is also about young love. It is Sunrise from In the Heights.
I saw it on a long list, but it didn't make it onto mine.
I think it's so beautiful. I think it's so clever the way it's written, in that it is a song that could only be in this show in the way that Nina is teaching Benny Spanish and like the double entendre of the beginning and the flirting. But then they're using this kind of shield of, oh, tell me how to say the Spanish word, to kind of confess their feelings to each other. And when he's like, how do you say kiss me? And she tells him in Spanish, and they're confessing these feelings for each other, but behind the walls, because they're both nervous. And then they sing at the end, promise me you'll stay beyond this sunrise, like worried that they're in their own little bubble. And then when the sun rises, as you watch do at the end of the song, as the sun rises, you know, they're worried about going into the real world and facing it together as opposed to apart. And I love it that it starts with them small on the fire escape. I also love like the kind of reveal, like Benny's on the fire escape and then Nina comes out and the audience like screams.
Yeah.
Because it's the act one, act two opener, because you don't know that they went home together. The audience screams, and then you see them on the fire escape, and it's dark. And throughout the song, the sun rises, and the town wakes up, and the city wakes up around them. And it ends with a huge chorus of people singing this song, and they have to leave their own little bubble and face reality. And I just think it's beautiful.
So how do you say help me?
Are you the man?
And how do you say promise me?
I love it very much. And Mandy Gonzalez's voice, crazy on that cast recording. Crazy.
It is. I mean, we know my feelings on Breathe and her rendition of Breathe. Like, she...
It's her song. Like, it's her her original moment.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I did see that on a list of, like, 101 best Broadway love songs of all time. But yeah, it did not make my long list or short list.
It's like flirty. I love that it's flirty between them. You know what I mean? I also noticed all mine are duets, because I love that they're singing it together and the interaction, like the way that you see the love between two people versus one person just contemplating it on their own. And I think both are great love songs, but I love the interaction and the flirting and the charmingness of two people singing together. Yeah. And I think, like, music, when people sing together, like, a lot of times you say it creates magic. And in a love duet that all these are, it's magical to watch them do that.
Yeah, for sure. That's interesting because, like, I'll think of my number five of I Don't Need a Roof. And yes, Kate Baldwin is singing by herself, but, like, Norbert Leo Butz is lying in her lap. So she is singing it to him and he's there. So, like, the presence of him is there, so you get that same sort of feeling. But there is something so magical about, like, two people singing together, which I guess is, like, kind of the same thing of Les Mis. Yes, she's more singing at him than it's a duet, but they're still together. I don't know, there's a lot of, like, togetherness in all of these love songs.
But, like, he's acknowledging what she's saying, like, he's repeating it back to her, you know?
Yeah.
He's hearing her.
Yeah. So, my number three, your number five, the next 10 minutes. It was my original number five, and then I had to make some adjustments. I feel like it's not a surprise that it's on both of our lists. We talked about this in our Jason Robert Brown episode. One of my favorite things about this song is that, as you said, it's the one moment that they sing together and then they go their separate ways or whatever happens. And it's almost like the time shifts again. Like, we continue to see her going backwards in their love story and him going forwards until the end being a breakup. And I agree. I think this song is so, so stunning. And it's one of Jason Robert Brown's best songs that he's ever written. And it's just, as much as I think it's like written on a higher note throughout the whole way through the song, when it gets to the end, it's pretty haunting. And it's almost like you know what's going to happen without knowing what's going to happen. And I love that, that you can just hear that in a piece of music.
I do.
Any version that I've heard is just sung so beautifully. And I think that there's so many people that when you ask them what's their dream role, it's either a Jamie or a Kathy. So I love it as well.
Yeah, the string section that really takes over kind of that last minute of the song. Stunning.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, number two already.
I can't believe we made it. So my number two is, I would say this is the classic song on my list. And it is People Will Say We're in Love from Oklahoma. It is beautiful.
It's on my honorable mentions list.
I really just think, so we saw Oklahoma for the first time over a year ago now in the most recent revival, and that song struck me in that it felt so modern, the way they mm-hmm. were flirting with each other. The moment that I love is like, when she sings, "Don't laugh at my jokes too much," and he says, "Who laughs at your jokes?" And it's just it's funny. Or he says something like, "Don't hold my hand too tight," and she's trying to pull her hand away, but he won't let her hand go in the staging. And it felt so modern in that moment. And then I've watched, you know, the Hugh Jackman production, and I've watched like clips from the movie. And those things are things that have been there from the very, very beginning of the mm-hmm. show. And it is like, it shows a timeless sort of love, and it shows the beginning of love. And from that song, I always get the sense that these are two people who know each other really well and who have just been like doing this dance with each other, this flirting dance before they fully, you know, dive, like getting their feet wet before they dive into being with each other permanently. And yeah. I just love the kind of like, it's sweet to me. And it's like a relationship that I like, in that they're not too precious with each other. They tease each other and they play with each other. And I just think it's like one of the most romantic things, that they're worried about the gossip, but they're also not worried.
Song aside, the staging of that number is mm-hmm. one of the best that we've seen. The green light, when it changed into that green light moment mm-hmm. in the most recent revival. As everybody knows, this was labeled like the sexiest Oklahoma of all time.
It is a sexy song. It's what
weird. But it is. But also when like Damon Downo and Rebecca Naomi Jones sing it together, it's also like a super sexy song.
There's like tension in it. Even in the earliest productions, there's tension in this song. Like a sexual tension.
Yes.
Don't take my arm.
What are your thoughts on the reprise?
It's good. It's fine. It's not as good to me as that original moment of it.
Yeah, you know? I agree. I went back and listened to both because I couldn't remember if that green light moment happened in the first one or the second one. But also, go and watch the YouTube video that was put out by like the Oklahoma official account, because that explains that whole like sexual tension. And it's stunning to watch.
Cut it with a knife down the middle of this sexual tension. There's a moment where he brings out his guitar. She's like, "Oh, don't bring out the guitar." It's so funny to me.
Yeah, so and I sweet. Think these two specifically did such a great job with that. To clarify, the version that you want is the most recent Oklahoma.
I don't know. I love them all. I'm going to have to listen.
Okay, that's great. Because I am not super familiar with the Hugh Jackman one, but I have listened to the most recent Oklahoma Revival mm-hmm. one so much.
Yeah, it's stunning. Just like, I don't know, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and it's really great.
And I love it.
Yeah. My number two is a song that has shown up on many of our episodes, and I always go back to it to listen to, and that's I Don't Know How to Love Him from Jesus Christ Superstar. This song is beautiful, and I think my favorite version of it is Sarah Bareilles singing it for the Jesus Christ Superstar. Was it NBC? Fox?
Yes, NBC.
NBC Live. One, she is incredible. Mary Magdalene is singing this song about how basically that she's been with all of these men, but no one is like Jesus. And I don't know, there's something about this song to me, and I think that it's the way that it's written, both lyrically and musically. This song builds in such an amazing way to the I never thought
come to me. This.
Yes, that is the part.
Should I bring him down? Should I scream and shout? Should I speak of love? Let my feelings out. I never thought I'd come to this.
What's and it's all? So powerful every single time that it's sung. I remember when we were doing our interview last year with Shalina Kennedy, and I went through and watched some of the clips that are online of her singing that song in Stratford, and she kills it also. It's just like, I feel like one of those songs that if you are a woman singing in this show, you want to give it your all because it's just so powerful and like almost such a release. I really love this song, and I listen to it all the time. I have not seen Jesus Christ Superstar. We were supposed to see it this year.
It was supposed to be part of Mervish's season.
Yeah, and I was so excited to see this song finally sung live, but we'll have to wait for that day to come.
Yeah, I do think it's a stunning song. It is beautiful. It is, I think a lot of love songs, it's like a conveyance of like, I've never felt this way before. And that's what that song is about. So many of these, like, it's like you're like hit with this. You're like, whoa, I thought I'd experienced love, but this is like nothing I've ever experienced before. And that's, I think the best love songs like capture that feeling, that moment, that like second of, wow, can't believe this is happening to me. Can't believe I love like this.
It also says something to me with a show that I've never seen and I've only heard the song, that it still makes me feel something. I feel like that is what a lot of these love songs on my list at least have done for me, is that, yeah, even if I never saw a production of it, I can listen to it and still appreciate what that character is going to, and it hits me in a way that I might not have thought that it would. So, okay, the coveted number one spot, which I feel like was my number two that I lost.
The coveted number one spot. One of my favorite musicals ever is Once, as we all know. And this is something I was looking at my list. Three of the five relationships in my top five list do not work out, do not end up together. It's tragic. It's tragic. And this is one of those ones where do they even kiss in Once? I don't think so. But
I don't think so either. There is a lot of tension in that show, as
yes,
there is
it's
in
about
Oklahoma.
Tension. It is about, like, the tension, and it's very early in the show, but the character of Guy has written this song, and he plays it, or she starts to play it on the piano, and they play it together, and it's Falling Slowly, and it's a song he's written, I think, for his ex-girlfriend, but when he plays it, when him, Guy and girl sing it together, it takes on a whole new life and a whole new meaning, and the only thing I can think of with it is, like, there's, like, a longing in this song.
Yeah.
And they, it's so heartbreaking. It's the beginning of the show, and then we spend kind of 2 hours with these people who just dance around each other, and in the end go their separate ways and leave each other. But they've created, through music, because this show is about creating music, they've created magic through this music, and Falling Slowly is that to me. And the way that they communicate with each other through music and kind of fall in love through music, and even though they don't really act on it, the audience feels this love between them.
Yeah.
And the lyrics sometimes are gibberish, like don't make sense. I don't
it
even know what they're
matter.
Saying.
It literally doesn't matter. Does not matter.
No, it just creates this feeling. It's the sound of their voices.
I don't even
it is
know
the way
that
she echoes him. It's gorgeous.
I agree, but I also think, take the vocals aside, the instrumental of that song alone is enough to pull at your heartstrings.
It's so slow, and it builds and builds and builds. So many of the songs in Once, I think, build really well like that. But Falling Slowly, which is kind of like the masterpiece song of that musical, in my opinion. It won the Oscar when after the movie came out. Actually, I remember the first time I heard it. This is a tangent, but if the first time I ever heard Falling Slowly, I was at a dance convention. I was probably 12, and the choreographer Mandy Moore was teaching a class, and the combination was to Falling Slowly. And I still like have vivid memories of hearing it for the first time in this like ballroom in downtown Toronto with Mandy Moore on like a manufactured stage. Stunning, stunning, gorgeous song, and every time I hear it, it just like gives me those emotions.
Take this sinking boat and point it.
This was obviously the number two that I lost, and I was so sad to lose this song. One, because this is my dad's favorite song of all time, and it literally led to discussions in the car, which I have some quotes to read for you. He said, "It has to be her number one because it should be everyone's number one."
Well, which, it wasn't your number one.
No, because I'll tell you why, like when we get to my number one. And he said, "If it was your number one, then you wouldn't have this problem." And he's right.
It was like one I couldn't bear to lose, you know?
Yes, which I feel like that's how I felt about my number one as well, which again, we'll get there when we get there. But I totally agree with everything you said. This song is so stunning. Also, let's give it up for Steve Kazee on those vocals because they are...
Kristen Milioti. Get it, girl.
Yes. But his vocal... Mm-hmm. We don't hear him sing enough. Obviously, he hasn't done a show in a
very
long time.
Come back to Broadway. Not since once.
You know, he's very busy with his new family, Jenna
I'm
Dewan.
Very happy for Steve Kazee. I'm very happy for Steve Kazee. I am so happy for him. But I want to hear you sing on stage again. I want to hear you on an original cast album again.
It's also one of those songs that you hear the first note of the piano, and you're like, oh, I know this song, and I'm ready to sing along every single lyric because it's just like ingrained in your mind. I do agree. I think it is one of the best love songs of all time. And this is also, as I said, coming from my dad, who does not listen to a lot of musical theater. And he has this very high on his list of his favorite songs of all time, because it's just one that hits you, and it hits you in the right spot. And I also love the thematic, the theme of it throughout the entire show. And when they sing it again at the very end, it's a little bit different, but
yeah,
it comes
kind of
back.
Like a cappella almost right at the end. Yeah. And I mean, if you know me, you kind of know that this is the style of music that I love in general. And so it's kind of like a match made in heaven once and me and the song. And
I remember when you saw it the first time you saw it, because I think I had seen it before you.
Probably.
It came to Toronto twice, right?
Well, the tour came, which I didn't see, but then I saw the Toronto sit-down production with a Canadian cast.
I think that in the subscription that year, the tour was part of the subscription, and then we also got to see it again. But I know my parents went to see it the second time. But I remember the first time that you saw it, you had messaged either me or a group chat or something, was like, this is the show, like, this is it.
I love that they don't end up together in the end. You know, that is one of my favorite things. It's like they're two people who like met at a perfect moment in time, and like their ships passed, and then they, you know, went on to lead their lives, but they were like changed from meeting each other. And I love that.
Also one of those shows that does the incredible thing of having the musicians on the stage playing.
I love that. That's one of my
it's
favorite
everything.
Things. I love to see the music being created on stage.
Yeah.
And I love the interludes of them switching the set with the music. Fantastic. Mm-hmm.
And the bar scene at the very, very beginning when you could go on stage and be part of it. Like, that's just, it brings you into that whole experience of this is the world that you're about to see and enjoy. It's great. I wish Once would come back. I would love to see it again. I've never seen the movie.
You know me, love accents. I've never seen the movie either.
I know. This is, also what I was going to say, when you had messaged me a couple days ago asking if the song had to be a musical first, I was like, that's gonna take one off my list if it's not. So was this the one that you were referring to?
No, I was actually thinking of Come What May. For me, this, like, I just think of the musical. I never think of the movie, even though I know it's based on a movie and the music is from the movie as well. But I was thinking of Come What May.
Okay, my number one, which I guess was your number two, but we're about to find out. This song, if you know me, I not only have this in my top five love songs, but it is my top five musical theater songs of all time. It's in that list. And that's I'll Cover You from Rent. Was this your number two?
It was my number two.
I'm shocked because we never talk about Rent together because you've never seen it.
I know, but I love the song. I'll speak first, actually.
Yeah.
For me, it is not the reprise. I love the reprise, but for me,
for me, it's not the reprise.
For me, the love song is not the reprise. It is the first time when they're together and they're saying, like, live in my house, I'll be your shelter. Just, like, promising to each other, like, I will take care of you, I will do anything for you, I'm committed to you. And, like, that's, I think, what a lot of these songs are about. It's, like, I choose you every day and I will forever.
So, part of our rules when we were first discussing this was, is the original and the reprise a separate song? And it was up to our own interpretation. I think that these are different songs, but they're also the same song, obviously, because the lyrics are the same. Mm-hmm. I prefer the reprise. I, as I said, think this is in my top five of best musical theater songs of all time. The scene, devastating. One of the mm-hmm. most heartbreaking scenes ever. And I think, again, as I had said on many of the other songs on my list, that any version of this song, I love it. I love Jesse L. Martin singing the song. I think for me, the reason I like the reprise better is because we, as the audience, get to see Angel and Collins have this moment when they sing the original version of I'll Cover You. But his friends don't know that. They don't know what mm-hmm. happens. So when he sings it to them at the funeral, it is, this was our love story, and please listen to how much I love this person. It's like so devastating. It's so sad. And I also love that Seasons of Love is brought into it, which I think is funny because I don't think Seasons of Love made it onto any of your lists either. Did it? Seasons of Love? It's like fun. On the list of like lists, but it's definitely not on a top 10.
Is it a love song? No, I don't consider it.
I don't know. Maybe. I think someone would consider it a love song.
I guess, but I consider love songs is like it has a subject or an object. Like you're singing about someone or something versus Seasons of Love, I feel like it's kind of about the idea of love.
Yeah, which I think is why when it came back around in this song, which again, it's sung in such a beautiful way at the funeral, this song is so powerful. It never fails to make me feel something, which is why it's number one on my list. I don't even know the first time that I heard it. I guess it was when I saw the movie, but it had stood out to me then, it still stands out to me now, and it's the whole feeling of I will protect you no matter what. And I love Rent for the specific reason of no one cared that Angel and Collins were together at all, or that Angel was a drag queen. Like, nobody cared. And to have this man stand up at a funeral and sing this song about the person that he loves no matter what is everything for me. So I love
it
so much.
I will accept you as you are, and you'll accept me as I am, and we will be together.
I also could, like, go on a whole tangent of how I think Angel and Collins are the two greatest characters in that movie, but in that musical, but
Angel, the best. Angel killed a dog, and we don't even care.
Okay? No, we don't. But that's the thing that I love so much, is that from the first moment that they meet, it's never even a question of, well, what are we? It's just that we love each other, and that's it. And there's no labels, there's no genders, there's no nothing, which I love. And I feel like in that sense, when Rent came out, which was, what, 96? It was, like, super ahead of its time for the awakening that has happened in the last few years, for sure. So I love the original, but if you're going to ask me to pick between the two, it's hands down the reprise for me every single time.
I love the reprise, but as a love song, the original is, I think it's just fun. Like, it has so much joy in it.
It's the devastation for me, though.
It's the devastation for you. Believe me, I love the devastation, okay?
Yeah. Okay, that's our top five. So we have also made it a mandate that we are only allowed to chat about five honorable mentions. These ones we did not send in for approval because we can have the same ones. But as we said, there are so many love songs, but these are the ones that are just next in line for us on the list. So if we were to put it as like a number six, what's your number six?
My number six Oh, this is so tough. This almost made my top five, but I just don't know if it's quite top five material. But one of my faves, as we know, Next to Normal, and there's kind of a series of love songs that I would call in this show. So in Act 1, it's Perfect for You, and then in Act 2, it's Hey Number 1, Hey Number 2, Hey Number 3, Perfect for You. So mine is Hey Number 3, Perfect for You. Natalie is exposing her deepest fears to Henry and saying, you know, I might end up crazy, I might end up like my mother, and he's saying, but I love you and I'll be there for you and I will help you and I'll support you. And that, not that it doesn't matter, but it's like, we'll face it together. And that is like, that's romance to me. And I love that they're like teenagers. They're young. They don't even know what life has for them, but Henry is like ready to face it with her. And I love it. It's so romantic. It's so sweet.
It is. And Henry, best guy.
I love Henry. Henry is so hot to me.
Also, we love you, Adam Chandler Barrett.
That's true. But there is something about, like, the awkwardness of Henry that I love.
Yeah. No, he's, like, the relatable love interest, I feel. Whereas some shows, the love interest is, like, up at the very top.
He's real. He feels like a real human.
Yeah. And he is that person that she needs. Mm-hmm. And he's perfect for her, as is the title of the song.
As he says. Yeah.
I feel like my number six spot could be interchangeable, but a song that I love, and I know that you love it too, and I wonder if it's on your honorable mentions, it's another Jason Robert Brown song. It's obviously from The Bridges of Madison County, and it's 1 Second in a Million Miles.
I don't have it, but, you know, go on.
Not even on your honorable mention list?
It's on the long list, but it's not, I don't know. I do love me some Bridges.
I think that this song is so stunning, like so super stunning. Again, I think I said this on our Jason Robert Brown episode, but I had thought that this was one of the best songs he's ever written. Is it because Stephen Pasquale has the voice of an angel in the song that it's so far up there for me? 100%. But I think without seeing the show, and I know that you're a person that has seen that bootleg like many, many times, without seeing that and only hearing it, I'm like, what is this love song? It is so beautiful. And Kelly O'Hara, obviously. But yeah, I mean, like, the storyline might be super messy at this point. I don't even know, but I love the song. I would listen to it all the time.
I think that one does capture what I was saying before. It's like, they sing, all my life I have been falling. They've never experienced this emotion before being with each other. And that is, and that song captures that instant that they realize that, or that they can communicate that.
I also think, again, vocally aside, the orchestrations of that song are so big and beautiful, and I just love it. It's an amazing song. And I do think that even though I've heard many versions of it, nothing tops the original. Those two are, they cannot be beat.
Perfect. I agree. Stephen Pasquale, Kelly O'Hara did that. okay, another one that I love. So I want to talk about West Side Story for a second, because I had a hard time pulling out the love song of West Side Story.
There are many, I feel.
I mean, it's a love story. It's Romeo and Juliet. There are many love songs. You could say Maria, you know, is his love song right at the beginning.
Look, if we had a 2019 cast recording version of Maria, that'd be number one on my list of best love songs.
Maria's fantastic. Then, you know, you have something like One Hand, One Heart, which is Tony and Maria kind of committing to each other. But I think the one that is my favorite, and it's like super basic, but Somewhere.
I don't think you're alone in that. I think that Somewhere. It is pretty high.
We'll find
a
new way
lists.
Of living, you know? Yes. It's like they give each other hope that they can be free of everything and just be together and love. And I love it.
Yeah, I agree. Another song on my honorable mention list, as I mentioned when you spoke on Heather's, the love song for me in that show is 17. I was obsessed with that song the first time that I heard it. I think in the same track of what we said of Heather's hits, like even that song in a regional production, it doesn't matter if you can't hit those high notes, it still hits.
Even the Riverdale version of Heather's.
Even the Riverdale version. As much as I was so confused at what Cole Sprouse was doing at the beginning of that song, he made it out in the end, and it's just beautiful. This song is a questionable moment. It's when the audience is like, oh, these two should not be together at all, but also let me eat up everything you're throwing at me because I'm obsessed with you guys being together. But yeah, I love the beginning of that song specifically when she is basically posing all of these questions to him of we should do these things, and it's like, no, maybe we shouldn't. And then they realize, what are we doing? We're just 17 years old. Let's just be 17. And the way that that song flows, I don't know. Like, it's no secret. We love Heathers, and I also love a lot of Lawrence O'Keefe's music. So whether it's this song or Our Love Is God, there's such good building moments in each of these songs in this show that it really just like gets you. And as I said, the first time that I heard it, I had to stop and say, what is this song? And now how can I listen to every single version of this song? So it's been on my list of favorite love songs for a very long
Fantastic.
Time.
Fantastic. But yeah, I went Our Love Is God. I went creepy.
I went dark.
I went dark. I went for the song that has the murder in it. This is, I don't know if it's an offbeat choice. It is a love song, but we've been talking about Sondheim a bit recently for whatever reason. And a musical I don't know very well, but there's one song that I love, love, love from it.
Are we talking about Passion?
We are talking about Passion. We are talking about Stephen Sondheim's Passion.
This is a musical I know nothing about.
We are talking about Stephen Sondheim's Passion.
Okay? Actually, that's not true. We did kind of come up with a very brief, very simple synopsis of that.
This guy loves her, but she's ugly.
And that's it. And I was saying to Steph, I was watching, I don't even know, I think it was a Great Performances, PBS, Lincoln Center.
One of those. It's professional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was watching it, and it's not that she's just not attractive. They made her the most hideous character ever. So it's really like she's ugly and he still loves her.
Repulsive.
Yes.
I mean, Donna Murphy is stunning, beautiful, amazing. Yeah. I'm sure every person who's ever played Fosca, gorgeous. But really the characterization of Fosca is bizarre.
I don't know how many schools actually, like high schools, do a version of Passion, but I just imagine.
I hope none.
Imagine though, like a university doing Passion, and this like freshman gets the role of Fosca, and they're like, oh man, like now I have to dress like this.
I love Fosca. So yes, the song is No One Has Ever Loved Me that Giorgio sings to Fosca at the end of the show. And it is the moment, you know, he's broken up with Clara, and he goes to her and says, you know, no one has ever loved me the way you do. And it inspires, it does something to him that this woman loves him so much. And that is the moment they like, you know, finally act on all their feelings, their emotions, and then she dies from it. It's truly bizarre. But I do just love it feels so pure when he sings, no one has ever loved me the way you do. And I love it. Like just the purity behind that simple lyric. I love.
The staging and the storyline, questionable, but the lyrics, stunning.
But she's ugly. How could you ever love her?
I know, but also the fact that she has to die as soon as they do something about it, it's like, oh, come on. My next song on my honorable mentions is from a flopped musical. And
yes,
this was one that I had toyed with putting in my top five. I think if I were to listen to it all the time, it would be there no matter what. And it is You Love Who You Love from Bonnie and Clyde. Well, we know how I feel about Bonnie and Clyde. But this song, I feel like you love it too, right?
Bonnie and Clyde is iconic. But You Love Who You Love. Correct.
I think the female harmonies in this song are some of the greatest on a cast recording that I've ever heard. We could also talk about the fact that I think that Bonnie could be on anyone's list of for the greatest love songs. Like Jeremy Jordan Sing to Me in a Bathtub any day.
Would you consider something like Dying Ain't So Bad a love song? Because it's like, she's like, as long as we both go together, she's like, I love this person so much, I would die with them.
Yes, maybe, but then this also comes into the track of one of my favorite songs of all time that I chose to not put on this list is With You from Ghost, because he is dead.
Yeah.
And she is singing about their great love, but she, I don't know, I had a big discussion with my mom about this because I truly like live for that song. I think it is so stunning, so beautiful, everything. But yes. I think if we were to have a sad songs category, it'd be number one on my list.
Oh my god, we should have a tearjerkers episode. Okay, let's pencil that in.
Is this whole episode? We're just
coming,
like
crying for an hour.
Yeah, but yeah, so in that sense, I do think that Dying Ain't So Bad probably is a love song, but I don't know. I think Bonnie is more of a love song than Dying Ain't So Bad. Mm-hmm. Because, again, he's singing it directly to her. But yeah, You Love Who You Love is one of those songs. If you have not heard it, go listen to it because it's so beautiful. And actually, go listen to all of the Bonnie and Clyde cast recording because there actually are some really great songs on that cast recording and in that show. But I just love the theme of that song, that it doesn't matter and you can't help it. You just love who you love and it is what it is at the end of the day. Even though, like, she loves a murderer and the other woman, I don't know who she loves, but she loves someone else. And I just think the vocal performance from both of these women, stunning, spectacular, amazing.
My next song here is another Lin-Manuel Miranda moment. We're going to go with Helpless from Helpless.
I knew it. I thought about it.
I love Helpless. I love Helpless so much. I feel like it's one in the car. I just, like, it's one of my favorites to listen to.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's truly fantastic. It's fantastic. I love that it is based on modern music because it captures the, like, attitude of, like, a youthful, fun love in this time, like, that's modern, but also, like, in that time period. And it conveys that the emotions that we feel now are the emotions that people were feeling for hundreds of years and have always been feeling. And I love that it's all about Eliza, and then Hamilton comes in at the end and does this, like, Ja Rule moment.
Eliza, I don't have a dollar to my name.
I love it. I just think it's, like, so much fun, and it captures, like, a joy of love that I think is perfect.
I think also what's amazing about that song is, I don't remember off the top of my head what the previous song is, but how it leads into it with the guys.
The Winter's Ball.
Hey, it's so good. It's just the whole, I mean, we could talk about that whole 25 minutes of Hamilton is probably the best part of Hamilton.
Yeah, like Winter's Ball into Helpless into, like, Satisfied right there is, like, really fantastic.
Yeah, but I agree. Helpless was on my long list. It's just such a fun, it's a fun love song, which I feel like we don't have enough fun love songs on our list, so I'm happy that you put it there.
I know, they're all, like, devastating.
Yeah.
But I love Helpless.
My next one on my honorable mentions, which we've already talked about, is People Will Say We're In Love from Oklahoma, so I will go straight to my final song on my honorable mention list, and that is Something to Believe In from Newsies, which I'm shocked that I'm talking about this song in general, but this song is sung by Catherine, and I literally almost said Jimmy. That's not his name.
It's his name and other things, but go on.
What's his name?
Jack.
Sung by Catherine and Jack at the end. This song was also written by Alan Menken specifically for the musical. It is not in the movie. Kara Lindsay and Jeremy Jordan are giving an amazing vocal performance, and I love the message behind this song. This is one of those songs that is not devastating. It's actually a very lovely, happy love song, and that they both needed each other to realize their full potential. It wasn't that he needed her to tell him that he was doing a good job and that vice versa. It's that they came together and they realized that, like, no, we can do this for ourselves. So yes, they believed in each other, but they also believed in themselves. And I think that the song is beautiful, and I listen to it all the time.
Interesting. I am not super familiar with that song from Newsies.
Oh, you should listen to it. I mean, like, Kara Lindsay, we love.
Like, Watch What Happens is the girl.
That is the Newsies song, 100%. But it's not a love song, so I couldn't include it on this list.
Watch What Happens is my favorite Newsies song, so yeah. That's that. Okay, my final song. I've actually just, like, swapped in a last-minute moment. This is from a musical I don't love, but I think the music is gorgeous because of the writer of it, and it is You Matter to Me from A Waitress.
I swapped it out many times on my honorable mentions list. It's stunning, guys.
It's stunning. It's gorgeous. And I just love the simplicity of it. It, you know, that these people just say to each other, you matter to me. And I just love that so much. And they're, like, committing adultery. They're cheating on their spouses. But in that moment, you, like, feel the love.
Yes, but they also, in that moment, realize that they need to stop doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So it's a smart moment.
And then on the cast recording, that's the song where it's like, dear baby. Dear baby.
Yeah, they're making a pie together.
I hope you find someone who holds you. And I'm just like, the letter to her baby. I can't deal with it. And it's like, she's, oh my God, let's go. She experiences this love, like a love she's never felt before, with Dr. pometer. Mm-hmm. And now she knows what to tell her daughter, her child, to look for and to, like, not settle for less for. And it's like, ugh.
Which is, it's such an important moment because mm-hmm. of her relationship with Earl and how mm-hmm. awful it is.
She realizes what she's worth, like, that she is worthy of love and, like, what you should not settle for. It's beautiful.
I also love the beginning of that scene when he comes in and he gets her the, like, engraved pie plate. Mm-hmm. So sweet. That Dr. Pometer is also mm-hmm. best guy. Like, there are many best guys in musicals. And
even
he's
though he's cheating
there.
On his wife. That's
yeah, but it doesn't matter. Like, Drew Gehling, we're fine with it.
The moment at the end of Waitress that always gets me. She gives him the pie and she's like, thanks for taking me to the moon pie. And you're just
yes,
like,
I know. Wow. I love you like a table wasn't on your honorable mentions.
Oh my God.
List.
Sorry. If I never have to speak of or think of, I don't even remember his character's name, but if I ever never have to
Augie?
Consider
him. Ogie.
If I never have to think about that man again, it will be too soon. Okay.
We thought about him the other day because he was wearing Vaisias in the company Instagram.
Christopher Fitzgerald was wearing Vaisias in the company Instagram, and I think we need to start our new Instagram page, which is Musical Shoes.
We're ready, but as
and
of
I
right
think
now,
we might do it because it's all Vaisias.
Well, the only ones. Okay, this is a tangent, but I'm pretty sure we discussed this in our Oklahoma episode last year. Remember that we were obsessed with the jeans and we wanted to know what jeans they were?
Weren't they American Eagle, though?
No, one of them was wearing American Eagle, but the Lori was not wearing American Eagle, and we were too far to see what the label was. I would know if it was a Levi's. Like, we would know with that red tag, and they were not. I spent maybe 2 hours trying to find these jeans and could not find them. I'm down for the shoe account. Right now, we have Christopher Fitzgerald in his Vaisias and also Derek Klena in his Vaisias for Jagged.
I think I just want Vaisias too much, but they're too expensive to justify. But I just want them too much so I can, I like have like a sense for them. I just know where they are.
I also heard that they're not that comfortable, but then I see these men dancing around in them on stage and I feel like they must be. So as I just made a rule that we have 5 honorable mentions, there are a couple more that we both agree on and that we would love to talk about. So I think that 10 Minutes Ago from Cinderella is one of those songs that should be on a list of like a top 30 Broadway love songs. It's beautiful. It really is super stunning.
The one that I love from Cinderella is Do I Love You Because You're Beautiful?
Santino.
He's like such a small man, but the voice that comes out of him is crazy. Do I Love You Because You're Beautiful? Or Are You Really As Wonderful As You Seem? I don't know.
I mean, speaking
so
of Santino, let's talk about Disney for a second. Even though this is a devious love song, Love Is an Open Door is still a love song.
We love Love Is an Open Door.
Yeah. And I think, like, just to go through a couple of the Disney ones, like, obviously, Can You Feel the Love Tonight from The Lion King is up there on a lot of people's lists of favorite love songs.
A Whole New World to me is the one.
It's beautiful. Aladdin. It's a really pretty song. I'm trying to think about other Disney musicals.
What about Beauty and the Beast? Is it just Beauty and the Beast? Tale as old as time.
Yeah, I guess. I'm trying
barely
to think.
Even
oh, no, what's
the
other
dead?
One? You know the one that the Beast sings? Oh, Something There. I feel like that is kind of a love
That's
song.
That's like a falling in love song, yes.
Yeah, it's
cute. Like, ooh, what's happening to me? What's happening to me inside?
Yeah.
What I sent you the other day is I Turned a Corner from Thoroughly Modern Millie, and I really just think it's Gavin Creel's voice. Just the way, like, his mix, I'm gonna call it. His
yes.
voice, the vibrato. Gorgeous.
Yes. Listen to these music terms.
Yes. Okay, I learned this from Seth Rudetsky. This is from me watching a lot of Seth Rudetsky videos. But
yeah.
just the way Gavin Creel uses his voice, the control of his voice in that song.
Yeah.
Nothing better.
One that I was pretty confident that could have made its way onto your list was What Would I Do from Falsettos.
It was so close. close. I just can't get over that song.
That's probably one that makes it on its tearjerker episode.
That's being saved for the tearjerkers episodes. Like, the once I was told good men get better with age, we're just gonna skip that stage. I can't handle it right now.
It's actually interesting because we, as we've said on many episodes, have seen the film Falsettos. We saw it in person. I think that the Christian Bale, Andrew Reynolds one is good, but I actually think that the Max von Essen, the Nick Adams one, is better.
100% agree.
I just remember when we sat in Chicago in that theater and they finished that song and we were like, oh my God.
It's
well, sobbing.
I forgot how sad it was, which is crazy, and then it happened, and I was like, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this myself again.
Falsetto is one of those shows you forget how sad it is until you're in it, and then
yes,
it's over.
The first act is kind of fine, right? And you're like, ha, 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 having a grand old time, yeah. And then act two, you're just
But I do agree. I think that one would be safe for a tearjerker, but it is such a stunning love song as well. A lot of love songs could be crossovers, is what I'm realizing.
Yes. I know. I was, like, looking. I was like, okay, let me find some more upbeat ones. I was like,
but
like,
why?
Goes. And I'm like, this just doesn't speak to me.
Yeah.
In the way that a lot of these other ones do.
Yeah.
Kiss Me Kate has So In Love, which is really beautiful.
I mean, there's also the classics that we don't really listen to, like Parade, Carousel, you know, those are All the Ways to Time. I Loved You. That one's great. If I Loved You.
If I Loved You. Again, that kind of has like a same, like a little bit of a similar vibe to People Will Say We're In Love, because it's like, they're talking around it, you know, if I loved you, I would do this. If I loved you, I would be like that.
Yeah.
Whereas they actually just do love each other, or like they will in the future.
That wraps up our ranked personal love songs. If you have a favorite love song, we would love to know what it is. As we said, ours tend to be more devastating than probably most people should be. So if you have some happy love songs, send them our way, because we would love to hear them. And with that being said, it is time for our obsession of the week. Steph, what is your obsession this week?
Okay, my obsession this week. Last night I was playing Trivial Pursuit with my family, as we do, and there was a question about a song. And I said, oh, this song from the musical Chess. My dad's like, this song is not from the musical Chess. And I'm like, this song is 100% from the musical Chess. And then we had to like Wikipedia it, and my dad's like, oh, it is from the musical Chess. I'm like, obviously, why would you doubt me? So obviously the song is One Night in Bangkok, and...
Like, I'm not sure, did he think that was, like, a song that was made before
the musical?
He just
thought it was a song. He just thought it was, I don't think he knew what the musical Chess was. Okay?
Did he even know what the song was, or just thought that he had heard the song?
No, it was a radio hit. It was a radio hit by...
Amazing.
It was a radio hit at the time from a singer named Murray Head, and it was on the concept album for Chess, and... Me and Julian, my brother, got really excited, and we asked Google to play One Night in Bangkok, and it started to play, and we both were just, like, waving our arms, like, getting excited to One Night in Bangkok. So, that's the obsession of the week. It is One Night in Bangkok by Murray Head from the Chess concept album, because it slaps. One night in Bangkok makes a hard man humble. Not much between despair and ecstasy.
Okay. I mean, not just in the concept album, it made it into that musical. I saw it live on stage, and let me tell you, that scene, wild.
Does it make sense contextually?
No. I don't
know. But you can't cut it because it's iconic.
No, it's, obviously. But in Chess, much like Once, but not at all the same, the musicians are playing on stage as it's happening, but the people
aren't
are also
the
dressed as
players?
Their instruments.
Right.
Yes, they're chess
players. Are they like
players,
the chess pieces?
And this song... If I'm remembering correctly, which I feel like I am, because it's not something that I would forget.
How could you ever make this up?
They're like basically at a strip club on stage during this song,
right?
Because it's the one night in Bangkok,
right?
And like
Bangkok, Thailand.
What happens in Bangkok stays in Bangkok, except for when you see it on stage, because then you see everything happen on stage. That show, wild. Would love to see it again. Honestly, I feel like it was ahead of its time. I didn't appreciate it when I saw it. I would love to see it again.
It's like so fun. It's so random, but I love it.
Yeah, super
and
random.
Yeah, just that we were just like, hey, Google, play One Night in Bangkok. And then we're
I can't
just
believe,
like,
I'm more shocked at the fact that this was a Trivial Pursuit
it was
question.
Trivial Pursuit.
What year
they
was
asked
this
about
game?
Recent. They asked about a lyric in the song that we did not get the question right. So.
That's so bizarre. Like, who are the people that wrote that question? Come and talk to us.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, come on then.
We want to ask
I will also say, I had a Broadway card last night, so the cards are themed. And the Broadway card, the question was, what 2007 musical had the performers skate around on roller skates? And I was like, obviously Xanadu, thank you. And I was like doing really badly, and that was my first pie. And then I started to kind of go on a roll after that. I was like, I needed an easy question to get me in.
But that's also such a random question to be in the musical theater category. You would think, like, I'm going to say a person that doesn't know theater wouldn't necessarily know that. You would think it would be something like wicked. You know what I mean?
It's Trivial Pursuit. It goes places.
Wow. There's a lot of questions. This is exciting. We should play.
I love
we should play live on this podcast.
Yes.
It'll be fun.
There's not always theater questions, though. It's very rare.
You'd have to pick out all of the specific cards. Okay, my obsession this week is in honor of Mean Girls sadly closing on Broadway. If you listened to our Year in Review episode last year, you'll know that Mean Girls had a very special place in our hearts due to Cameron Dallas. And I will say, I think that because of his comedy performance in Mean Girls, it led me to watch, as I said, that bootleg many times. And I have listened to that cast recording many times since the end of last year. So
same.
You have also?
Yeah, many times.
Yeah. So my obsession this week is something that I played for you, Steph, over the microphone so that you could enjoy it. And that is the cast singing stars at the Google Talks for Mean Girls, because it features one of the greatest vocal riffs of all time on that song that should be in the show. Like, why is that not in the show? Obviously, Renee Rapp, you know that I love her. We love her. And that moment on that song should be in the show because it's so good. And it's a moment for Regina to finally, like, sing again at the end of the show after she's gone and been hit by a bus. We want to bring her back and give her this powerful vocal moment.
We are so real. We are so real. We are so real. We see them. We see them.
I love that performance of this song. It's a song that I don't really care for. I know that you love Stars
I
now.
I love Stars. I was like teaching myself the choreography from YouTube.
It is sad that Mean Girls did have to close because of the pandemic. Hopefully that show can live on in its tour form, which I know that they were touring many places in the States before everything shut down. It is kind of crazy, though, that they basically like restaged that whole show before the pandemic and then I think they only performed a week of the new staging on Broadway and never to be seen again, except it is on the tour, obviously.
Both Mean Girls and Frozen did this.
I know. Maybe there was a curse to... I remember seeing the Instagram stories from Renee.
Maybe it's just a sign that like the show had problems and they weren't sure how to fix them. You know what I mean?
Has problems. We
but
know
both Frozen
that.
And Mean Girls, they kind of like, okay, move this song around, change this, change... Just like make little tweaks.
As an audience standpoint, it is super interesting to see a second version of a show because my understanding was once a show is frozen, it's frozen. But I guess that's not 100% true. It was sad to see them all go through on their Instagram and pull out all of these moments from the beginning. And I will say, I am not the biggest fan of this show, as we all know. I did see a super early preview. I'm sure things changed after I saw it. But I do love that there are different videos that live on from this and that these actors that were in these shows can now do something different because this was their life for two or three years. It is also interesting that a lot of the original cast did say goodbye in January of last year. So right. There was changeover.
So I think that brings us to the end of our Broadway love songs. If you have a favorite love song that we missed, because this was literally just our favorites, not the best, but just the ones that touch us the most.
Let us know.
Tweet us.
If this was the best, none of our top fives would be on there.
Oh my God, no. No, but just the ones that speak to us the most. So if you have a different one or ones that we missed, like tweet us, talk to us on Instagram. We'd love that. But you can listen to our podcast anywhere podcasts are found. We'd love it if you rate and review on iTunes. And you can also, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe.
If you want to follow us on Twitter and Instagram, you can follow us at Off2BWayPodcast. That's with the number 2. And we will see you guys next time with our episode on The Greatest Showman. I'm very excited.
Are we?
Yep. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.